RadioSaintPete.com.
Here's RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell. Today, Charlie reviews Avengers: Age of Ultron, now playing in area theaters.
Avengers: Age of Ultron reminds me of a Rocky Balboa movie, especially the sequels. At first, an oblivious Rocky, full of hubris, gets humbled and everything falls apart. He must regroup, get back to his roots, and train harder to finally succeed over the gargantuan foe. A villain usually so formidable, the audience doesn't know how our underdog will get past him. The new Avenger certainly has what appears to be an omnipotent and cunning adversary. Yet the weak point is it's neither a shadowy syndicate trying to take over the world, and it's not even aliens, which writer-director Joss Whedon threw at us in the first Avengers. The bad guy this time around is of their own making, which makes all of the ensuing death and destruction seem almost unnecessary and completely avoidable. Rocky Balboa only accidentally created his nemesis once, and that wasn't until the god-awful Rocky V. Avengers: Age of Ultron is not Rocky V. Its action scenes remain impressive, there are new characters to introduce, and the jokes still land with a punch. However, Age of Ultron is lesser than its predecessor, because of a forced villain which feels more arbitrary than logical follow-on. Even though the bad guy is an accident of unintended consequences, he is fun to watch. Ultron, voiced by James Spader, is an artificial intelligence unwittingly spawned as the brainchild between Tony Stark, played by Robert Downey Jr., and Bruce Banner, played by Mark Ruffalo. Rather than protecting Earth from another alien invasion, Ultron decides he must kill the Avengers instead. He makes his own robotic body he keeps improving with advanced metals, and even has designs on creating human tissue. Ultron's desire to kill the Avengers should not be too hard, because they are already at each other's throats. What the team needs are some trust exercises. The Avengers are foremost a dysfunctional team, with personalities built to clash, and egos doing their best to outperform one another. Perhaps that is why they function so well as a defense against villains far and wide. Tony Stark is the financier behind the operation, but he has to take a step back and let Steve Rogers, played by Chris Evans, assume the status of team leader as Captain America. Tony realizes Steve is a better organizer and battle commander, while Tony serves the group more effectively as money man, tech league, and smartass. It remains a slight chore to remind yourself that Iron Man, the Hulk, and Captain America are all on par with actual gods, such as Thor, played by Chris Hemsworth. But this is the Marvel Universe. Play the game. Aside from amusing, snarky dialogue from Joss Whedon, which goes all the way back to his Firefly days, the new Avengers introduces new characters to the already crowded field. Twins Pietro and Wanda Maximoff, played by Aaron Taylor Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen, who go by the superhero names Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, show up as enhanced humans, sort of like Captain America, but are on par with Black Widow, played by Scarlett Johansson, and Hawkeye, played by Jeremy Renner, the more minor Avengers, due to their limited capabilities in battle. You may remember Quicksilver from last year's X-Men Days of Future Past, because his character exists in both universes, even though they are completely separate. It's easy to see the winner. The X-Men Quicksilver is much better on screen than the Avengers Quicksilver. There is also a new thing called Vision, which I am not going to talk about because that enters spoiler territory. The cast being packed with over a dozen characters who could all lead their own films is a familiar problem Mr. Whedon encounters. This time, he bumps up the screen time for Black Widow and Hawkeye, two characters very much sidelined in the first film, and gives them each a side plot story to give them that all-important third dimension. Black Widow forms a bond with Bruce Banner, and they flirt during Avenger downtimes and look like sad-eyed puppy dogs when Bruce keeps reminding Natasha that she should not want to get involved with the Hulk. Hawkeye's secret emerges out of nowhere and is neither amazing nor distracting. It's a cagey move by Whedon to make the audience care more about a character considered a throwaway, since all he does is perch out of the way, shooting an endless supply of explosive arrows. As always, Iron Man and Captain America get most of the screen time, and gee whiz action scenes, which leaves Thor as the odd man out. When not in his own films, it feels like the brains behind the Avengers do not know what to do with him. Halfway through, Thor takes off and takes a dip in some enchanted whirlpool, which has nothing to do with anything. And during the climatic battle, Ultron plucks him out of nowhere to fight one-on-one, only because there is nothing else for Thor to do. This is not a specific knock on Whedon's screenplay, but when there are so many alpha characters, there's almost nothing you can do to prevent one of them from falling into beta status. The Avengers and their accompanying solo films have been the biggest franchise for the past 7 years or so, bigger than the Star Trek reboot and larger than Guardians of the Galaxy. It will be interesting to see what happens when the Star Wars films start appearing. Always alert for signs of wear and tear in what is the 9th film in the franchise, after 3 Iron Mans, 2 Thors, and 2 Captain Americas, and not counting the Hulks, our heroes still feel fresh, but the story this time around is not epic. It's not necessarily formulaic, but accidentally creating your enemy comes off as borderline goofy. Everything is what you expect. The IMAX, the ear-splitting explosions, and the how-did-they-do-that special effects. Age of Ultron should please just about everybody, but it probably will not impress all that many. That is why I give Avengers Age of Ultron 3 out of 4 stars.
Avengers Age of Ultron is rated PG-13, now playing at Regal Park Place Stadium 16, Regal Largo Mall 8, and the Movico Sundial 19 in downtown St. Petersburg. RadioSt.Pete.com film critic Charlie Jewell is a member of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. To read more of Charlie's reviews online, visit CharlieJewell.com. RadioSt.Pete.com.